Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shut. We've done all our wheeling and dealing, and Boya's new charges helped us secure a narrow win over Wigan. Not a bad start. Welcome to Charlton Live. So hello and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez, and we'll be looking back at the narrow 1-0 victory over Wigan Athletic at the Valley yesterday. Jake Forster cast his free kick, giving us all 3 points. Joining me on the pod to do that, first up, we've got Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Living the dream, you?
Yeah, good. Have you had a good couple of days? Enjoy the victory yesterday?
Yeah, I think get some good positive, positive signs. I think we'll go into it more, but I think considering a couple of them only joined the day before and a couple earlier in the week, I thought there's obviously signs that they still got to get to know each other and bed in, so to speak. But yeah, I think it was really, really good positive elements of play of yesterday.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And also joining us on the pod, a purveyor of fine, squirty white stuff, is Mr. Terry Smith. How you doing, Tel?
I'm tickety-boo, actually, yes. Squirty white stuff and all.
Yeah, go on. I mean, we'll come on to it later, but you will have to explain some of your wording around some of the commentary yesterday, but we'll talk about that later on. So on tonight's show, then, as I said, we'll look back at the game with Wigan. We'll hear the highlights from the game, including a famous phrase now from Terry Smith. We'll hear the Addicts boss Lee Bowyer's reaction to the game, and also from Ryan Innes, new signing, got his Addicts debut yesterday. Defender looked quite good as well, so we'll hear from him. While we're doing that, of course, we want to have some back and forth with some of our listeners, so we're going to read out some tweets and emails. I did ask you guys what you made of yesterday's victory and also what you think of our wheeling and dealing in the transfer window, so we'll have all those discussions later on. If we get a chance, we'll look ahead to Tuesday's game with Blackpool as well. So Terry, before we go into the highlights, 1-0 win against Wigan yesterday. The goal itself was a bit of a weird one, but overall, pleased with the display, pleased with the 3 points?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, it, you know, it wasn't pretty. I think we'll hopefully at least come across better games in the season where we play better football and perhaps win more convincingly. But you can't argue with the effort and the resolve and the fact that I know the stats say only 4 new players, but you've got to consider the other players as well. I mean, I think in total there's got to be 7 or 8 out there on the pitch that have only known each other a few weeks. So the fact that we can grind out, and I think that's what it was, a 1-0 win then against a side that you'd probably expect to be there or thereabouts as well. I know they've got their own problems, of course, but that was a tough game that we did well to see out.
Yeah, it certainly was. And Nath, considering, like Terry said, there is a lot. I mean, I thought we looked a better team straight off the bat yesterday. You know, we didn't score more than just the 1 goal when perhaps we should have. But I thought we looked a different side with a few of these new bodies in, and that's before they've even had a chance to gel.
Yeah, exactly. I think I said it on Twitter. I think the signings that we've got have definitely improved us, and they give us a different dynamic. I mean, if you look at the way we played yesterday, and as Tel said, it wasn't a free flowing, it wasn't a pretty game to watch. But you can see that we were trying different things, and it wasn't the greatest. I think it's a good start, and I think, like Bozer said, we've just got to be patient. I know there's people asking where that Ian Mattson was, but I just think it's an early start, and I think we can, we start as we mean to go on, and I just think we can only get better.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights then. Unfortunately, the first half wasn't recorded, it cut out yesterday, so we've only got the highlights of the second half over on Valley Pass. Your commentators were, of course, Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Charlton have a free kick halfway inside the Wigan half.
I think
probably just
Fanmo's just giving him his squirty white stuff back, because it obviously fell out when he fell over, and I'm assuming it's the stuff he uses to mark lines with.
John with a free kick in a decent position here. Fanmo and Innes up from the back.
It's a rarity, because Wigan have actually lined up without the need of the referee to pace it. It's about 20 yards. It's more than 10 for sure.
Charlton to take. Forskaski hits it.
It's in!
Caught in off post! It looked for all the world that Jones was going to get there, but the strike from Forskaski was good enough, and it hits the post and goes in. And Forskaski, who hit the bar in the first half, this time went for goal slightly further out. It looked for all the world Jones was going to get across and just palm it away. Couldn't do so. Jay Forskaski opens the scoring for Charlton.
Well, I have no idea what happened. I mean, it was, Jake had tried a couple of free kicks in the first half, quite high, one hit the bar, one sailed over. This time he went for a bit more of a low one, pacing into the left-hand corner. And the way Jones went across, you just thought he had it covered. He almost seemed to go in slow motion then. So we were just naturally assuming this ball's going wide. And it's coming off the post and into the back of the net. I wouldn't say it's a gift from Charlton, a gift we weren't expecting, but you'd back the goalkeeper to cover those.
It's
all day long.
I don't think he hit it. He hit it well, Forskaski, but
referee.
He didn't hit. It wasn't an outrageous, powerful strike. No. The goalkeeper couldn't
great
get
great placement.
Just really good placement. But Wigan find themselves a goal behind.
Back to tilt, Evans. Takes over again. Looks to the switch across on this near side to Massey. Has he got it right? He's just kept it in, Massey. But Doughty slips over at a crucial point. Massey's in the area. Sends Garner on the way. Chip back across. Amos with a touch. It runs to Naismith. Naismith back to Evans. Off the crossbar. And headed wide by Keenan. Wigan are incensed. They think they should have a penalty.
I agree. Evans gets fouled by Watson as he goes to strike the ball. Watson just trips the back of his heel as he hits it. That's why the connection wasn't good. Just as he hits it.
I didn't see it, but the Wigan players are absolutely incensed.
Again, I think Charlton get away.
So Wigan will have a chance to send this forward with 10 seconds of added time remaining.
Be strong here, Charlton.
Wigan send everybody forward. Charlton with everybody bar Bogle back. Ball towards Innes, gets something on it, it'll drop to Solomon Ottoboa on the edge of the penalty area. Gunter in front of him, Washington getting it back there as well. So shot comes in and saved by Amos down to his right hand side, and that's the end of the game. Charlton survived the late scare, which is not something we've been saying in previous, well, certainly the back end of last season. Those are the sort of games that would have lost or would have succumbed to an equaliser in the last second. Not on this occasion. Charlton see it out.
There we go then. The highlights from Valley Pass was that 1-0 victory over Wigan Athletic yesterday, our first home win of the season, first in six home league games, and a welcome boost, really. I think with all these new players that have come in, it's nice for a lot of them to get off and running with a win. We saw four debutants yesterday from the off, then Omar Bogle came off the bench as well, so a lot of new blood on the pitch yesterday, Tal. But I think, yeah, like I said to Nath just for the highlights, I think we actually looked better than we had done in the last few games. You know, even that 0-0 with Sunderland, which was on paper quite a good result, I didn't think we played very well. But yesterday, even if we had drawn, I would have definitely been more pleased with the result itself. So to go on and take the 3 points, I was pretty happy at full time yesterday.
Yeah, agreed. So was I. I think a couple of the reasons for me for that. I mean, other than the fact, obviously, we've got better players in the squad now. The back four, even with Doughty on the one side, I still think Mattson will probably come in there sooner or later. But even with that back four, we look more, certainly in the central area, we look more solid. I think midfield, once Prattley's obviously moved forward to that, and Watson, that looked more combative and didn't allow Wigan the amount of space and time that perhaps we've allowed other teams so far in the season. And actually, I think going forward, I thought Chuck Sonico was outstanding yesterday. I mean, all right, some people will say, well, he didn't finish off the chances. Some of them he created by himself, but you know, he didn't score any goals. But I thought at times he was unplayable. They just couldn't get near him. And a couple of times I thought Lionel Messi was out there in the shirt rather than Chuck's, because there were, you know, a couple of turns and little ball tight ball control that took him past centre half. So I thought he was outstanding yesterday, and that was the main reason I thought that we looked more threatening, is because his hold up play. And his threat generally, they couldn't handle.
Yeah, Lee Bowyer said as much, didn't they? After full time, I thought Chucks really was one of those bright lights for us. I mean, before we go in a bit more, I guess, Nath, to the new signings, because I thought Paul Smith in particular impressed as well up top yesterday. The goal itself, Jake Forster-Kaski, first goal for two and a half years or so, maybe even more. From the free kick, he'd had a couple of range testers early on. I didn't hit the bar. In the first half, had another one that went well over the bar in the first half. Then I'd argue it's his worst one that's actually snuck in, because the free kick left-footed, it seemed to just go over the wall. But from where we were sitting in the West Stand, it looked for all the world like it was going wide. I think based purely on the reaction from the goalkeeper, he seemed to sort of be pulling up and letting it go. So I was as surprised as anyone to see it sneak in there off the near post.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he also had that chance in the first half. We tried the little back flick thing from Paul Smith as well. So I thought he'd done all right yesterday, Jake. And I think when he first came in, when Bowes first came in, he was like he's sort of favourite, I think, was going around the dressing room, Jake. And he obviously asked him to get forward and score more goals. And he put himself about a bit yesterday. I think there was a couple of points in the first half. He was a bit sloppy, but I think the team as a whole got sloppy at some point in the first half. But yeah, I thought he had a really good game. And yeah, that free kick, I agree with you. I mean, when you look at the replays back, the goalie's dived and he's not really stretched. So I think he's thinking it's gone. And even by the reaction when he's gone in, he's gone like, you cheeky little minx, you know what I mean? It snuck in. But yeah, I mean, the free kick in the first half. So he was getting his range, and luckily for us, he got it on the third time lucky, maybe.
Yeah, it certainly was. And yeah, I'm still baffled by the goalkeeper, and I don't think "you cheeky little minx" is exactly what you're saying after that one went in, but I imagine he wasn't happy with himself. The way the game sort of flowed, Tal, obviously, I think we started on top. Then maybe sort of around the 20-minute mark, Wigan had those couple of chances. Garner sort of slashed one wide when he brought one down. Amos made a good save from a header from a corner. Then again, towards the end of that first half, again, I think we ended in the ascendancy when Chucks almost worked that bit of magic where he brought the ball down on his chest. I'm trying to work out, basically, over the course of the game, is a 1-0 victory for us like a fair result? I don't know what you made of that, Till.
Yeah, I thought we were worthy of it. I think you're right. I think first quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, it was us, and they didn't really trouble us at all in that period. But then we sort of surrendered possession and territory for the second portion of that first half until about 10 minutes to go, and then we sort of picked it up again. But and that allowed them to get into it. I also thought that they had the guy up front, Garner, who's obviously their key player and scores their goals. It was a nasty piece of work, actually. I said it on comms. He kept leaving his foot in, and he kept getting away with it as well. And I don't know. I haven't seen it back, so I don't know whether the headbutt on Alfie was deliberate or he deliberately went in thinking he was going to cause some harm. And I think we sort of surrendered to the little bit of niggly stuff a bit in that middle period of the first half. And so we lost a bit of control. But once we got that back, which was the sort of last 10 minutes or so of the first half, and then I thought the second half it was pretty much all us. Yes, of course they're going to have chances because you can't go through a whole 90 minutes and not concede chances. That's a fact. And especially when after we went 1-0 up, they were obviously going to not throw the kitchen sink necessarily, because I don't think they did, but they certainly they got more dangerous than that. Solomon Ottobor, I think, who was probably their most dangerous player, came into the game a bit more. But and I know they put the ball in the back of the net, but it was already there was clear foul in the build up. That just amazed the referee, took so long to give it. I think most people look at the stats and say it was a fairly even game because there wasn't much in it possession wise. I don't think there was any difference in shots on target. So most people say, well, a draw would have been a fair result. I'm not sure about that. I thought we were worthy of that.
And there was one particularly contentious moment, Naif, in the second half, only about 5 or 6 minutes from the end of the game, actually, when Wigan hit the crossbar. It bounced down off the line, Charlton cleared their lines. But looking back on it, the Wigan players were convinced there should have been a penalty. The guy who hit the crossbar, they're saying he got clipped by Ben Watson. Now, I've watched that replay 5 or 6 times, and I can't see anything conclusive there. Now, I understand that John Sheridan was afterwards saying it was very much a penalty, but obviously he is going to say that. Your view on that? Do you think we got away with one there, or do you think that's just one of those things? I mean, we've had him gone against us enough times. Did you see anything in that challenge? Because, like I say, I've watched that replay 10 times, and I can't see a penalty there personally.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched it loads, and I can't make up my mind. I mean, when I watched it live, I thought it was a penalty, just simply for the fact that, the chap's got acres of space, he's got a free shot of goal, and I just don't know, so central, would he really, I know everyone can miss the goal, obviously, now and again, but it was like, when the shot went off, I was like, how has he, sort of scuffed it from there? Do you know what I mean? And then obviously with the bet, and then I thought maybe he has just slightly clipped his heels, but at the same time, I've watched it over and over again, and the referee is about 5 yards away from it. So if he heard anything, he would have seen it. And maybe it was just he hasn't caught it right, and he's just gone down, or Ben's caught him after he's shot, maybe. But I'm not sure. I couldn't really, after I've seen it so many times, I couldn't really make sense if it was a penalty or not. But on first glance live, I thought it was. But if we got away with it, then like you say, we've had, you look at the Lincoln one. Well, there's no comparison, really, but sometimes you get them and some you don't. But I agree with Tell. I think we deserved the win. But I think their biggest chance for me was that Garner one. How he sliced that, I don't know. But on the chances created, more or less, not clear-cut ones, but, I thought we definitely deserved definitely deserved the 3 points.
Yeah, certainly did. We had to hold on a little bit at the end there, but we did see it out, Tell. I thought maybe we should talk about some of those new signings then. And first of all, let's talk about Ryan Innes then. We're going to hear from him later on in the pod, because it was a bit of a rear guard display at times. He was certainly one of the ones who was in the wars when we spoke to him after the game. He clearly had a big sort of stitches or cut on his nose. Alfie Doughty also had a big bandage on his head. But Ryan Innes made the move from Palace. His career has been a really interesting one, actually. He had 10 loan spells away from Selhurst Park. As I said on Thursdays, he couldn't get away. Couldn't wait to get away from that hellhole. But, coming in now, he wants to find somewhere that he can call home. And just look, obviously, based on one performance so far, it does look like he's got the attributes to actually be quite a useful centre-half for us.
Yeah, and don't you think it's, going back a few years, it's a Kerbishley-esque signing, and maybe a Chris Powell and now Lee Bowyer, where, you know, you bring somebody in who's got something to prove. I mean, and he's gone to Palace. He was very highly thought of when he was a young lad. I think he played for England under 16s, 17s and 18s. He, you know, so he was clearly a talent. And I think, we've unearthed somebody who's clearly got the ability, but hasn't had a fair shake certainly at Crystal Palace. And as you say, he's gone on loan about 10 different times. And it's one of those ones where, and I said it to him yesterday, funnily enough, that it's good that somebody who clearly has known him for a while, as we have in the backroom staff, that they clearly earmarked him if he was available to take him. So the fact that he's got a talent, but maybe hasn't directed it in the right areas, and then maybe just the fact that somebody actually wants to sign, somebody wants him, somebody thinks that he can do a job, and somebody actively wants to bring him into a club and sign him, not just on loan, actually get him to a long-term deal, must give him a huge amount of confidence. And he could see from yesterday he's a warrior. He puts, his Edward Hurts. He's a big lad. And we could have the makings of a real solid centre back, and I think he might contribute with his size as well. I think he might contribute a few goals this season as well.
Yeah, it looks like he's certainly got the ability. Like I say, when we spoke to him, you hear a bit of it later on in the pod. He certainly seems like a chap who's I'm going to say has his head screwed on, but it did nearly come off in that challenge yesterday. But you know, considering what's gone on in his past as well, it'd be very interesting to see how he settles down. But he sounded like a nice chap when we spoke to him yesterday. Now, what about Paul Smith then? So I asked my QPR supporting neighbour what we should make of him. Because, again, I don't think people were that excited by that signing, if that's just me. You know, when you sign a forward attacking, striking player, people go straight for the goal record and think, meh, not that much in there. But actually, I think we saw yesterday that I think he's got the ability to bring a lot to this side. I think for me, it was probably one of the most impressive performances, particularly in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I agree in terms of goals. I mean, Jan never had a great goal record when he came to us. I know he's a different player to Jan, but I don't really focus too much in terms of that, because there's loads of different factors that can play a part. But I think with Smith, I was really impressed with him yesterday. I thought he'd offer us something different with his pace, and there was a couple of times where he got in behind, something that I thought we lacked. Macaulay Bond wasn't a slouch, but you know, I think he offers that raw pace that we've lacked really since, I'd probably have to say, Lecco was here. And I think he definitely offers us a different dynamic and getting up the pitch quicker. And if we have to go a bit more direct and go into the channels and play the territorial game, then we can now with him. And I mean, I said yesterday to Greg and onto Twitter, I think he reminds me of like a young Jamie Mackie, really, when he first came on the scene. You know, he leaves nothing out, that nothing left on the pitch, and he gives his all. And do I think he's going to get us 10, 15, 20 goals? Probably not, but I think he'll probably get a lot more assists than he probably will in goals, or at least contribute to phases of play which will lead to goals. So I would say, yeah, he was very impressive. And to be fair, didn't really see too much of Gunner, but I thought he dealt with Solomon Ottobor quite well. He made a couple of good challenges. And but yeah, I think it was a great performance from Smith, and he was one that came in the day before. So even if you look at the back four, Gunter come back from Wales, was only in the building for a couple of days. Innes never played. Fanwo's played a couple of games, and obviously Doughty's there at left back. So I thought, considering it was all a brand new, I thought everyone did well. But yeah, I agree, Smith offers us something different that we never had. And even if he doesn't start a game, if Washington starts, it will give us something else off the bench.
Yeah, certainly. And so, I mean, Nath has mentioned Gunter there, so let's talk about Andrew Shinney then, Tell. You know, we remember him from his Luton days. Actually got sent off in the Valley in one of our wins over Luton Town a couple of years ago. But again, we saw flashes from him yesterday. Someone I think who's going to look to try and sort of link the midfield and the attack, and he's got a bit of pedigree in this division. What did you make of his sort of early days so far?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think he was steady. I don't think he didn't necessarily pull up trees, but I think that's a little unfair on him, because, you know, he's probably one of the ones that suffered most from not playing with his colleagues, because at times I thought himself and Prattley and Watson sometimes occupied the same space, and Forster Caskett, to be fair. So, you know, there are times when they were, I wouldn't say falling over themselves, but, you know, occupying their own areas, and it was difficult to work in. But there were also times when, you know, he put a foot in, he broke up play, and then, as you say, linked up going forward. So I think he's going to be invaluable. I think, you know, every team that that wants to threaten promotion needs a decent spine, and I think we've got that now. Amos, obviously quality keeper at the back. You've got Pierce when he comes back in as well, but you've got now Innes and Famwo in the centre, and then you've got Shinny. If it's Watson and Prattley, although I think there are times when they might swap around, that's a decent central midfield, and then you've got the likes of you've already mentioned Smith with his pace. And if it's either Bogle or an EK up top, I think that's a decent spine, and we can build off that. So I think every team needs a Shinny. I mentioned it weeks ago when we played Sunderland, that Ledbetter's their sort of that type of player. Every team needs a Ledbetter, and every team needs a Shinny. And I think I'm pleased we got him. And I think if he even comes close to playing as well as he did when he was at Luton in League One, then we'll do all right.
Yeah, that will be entertaining to see. Right, just before we hear from Lee Bowyer then, Tell, I did say you're going to have to explain yourself a little bit. We heard it. We heard this clip during the highlights. I'm just going to play it again. 1 second.
Squirty white stuff.
Right, go on then, Tell. I mean, there's ways to describe stuff, isn't there? And I think Greg was taken aback a little bit by that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. It's factually accurate, so I don't get the hype. It's squirty white stuff. It's exactly what it is. So, to be fair, when he fell over, do you remember in the build-up to the free kick, he dropped on his backside, the ref, and obviously lost the contents of whatever's in his pocket, including the can of spray. I think it was Chucks who delivered it back to him. And so at that split second, I couldn't remember what I'm sure there's an official name for that stuff, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Spray? I don't know.
Well, yeah, maybe. So I just because I couldn't remember the name, I went a bit more descriptive. That's all.
Well, there you go.
And
at least Charlton kept a Charlton kept a clean sheet anyway, so it doesn't matter. Right, let's hear.
By the way, before we move on, did you? Can anybody answer this question? Actually, do you remember part of the game when he used that squirty white stuff? You know, when after a long injury, I can't remember whether it was Innes's or their players or even Doughty, but I think we had to give the ball back to them.
And he drew the two lines.
He did two lines in the pitch.
Yeah,
and it was. It was like a gladiator's ready. It was he put a line one side and their player had to go the other side, and a line our side and an odd player had to go the other side, and they couldn't meet in the middle until he dropped the ball. What was all that about?
It looked like they was just about to set up a tug of war, and it's like they're just going to drag the ref into whoever can drag me into over this white line. That's who gets the free kick. I think I'll make it a little bit more interesting. To be fair.
I think we should do it all the time.
I think if we ever had what's his name? What's that ref you really really enjoy? Trevor Kettle. If he was in the middle, I think you'd jump down the gantry and be involved in that tug of war yourself, wouldn't you?
I think it's either Kettle or Stroud, and rather than the traditional rope, I reckon one person should get hold of one of Stroud's arms, and the other person gets hold of the other Stroud's arms and just pull.
Yeah, do you ever remember that toy, the Stretch Armstrong?
That's it, yeah.
Right, let's stop talking about 90s toys and let's hear from Lee Bowyer, the Addicts boss. Came on to Zoom to speak to us after yesterday's 1-0 win over Wigan Athletic. I asked the Addicts boss what he made of the victory over the Ticks.
I thought it was a tough game. I thought two solid teams, I think. They've got some good players, and we had to be at it from the first whistle to the last, and I think we was. We started really, really well on the front foot, first 20 minutes. When you're in on the front foot like the way we was in the early parts, that's when I think we have to be a bit more clinical, and we will be once we get working with this group on a regular basis, then we will be. And so yeah, that was the only thing that disappointed me the first 20 minutes, was that we didn't take one of the chances we created. But yeah, overall I think I'd say it's probably fair that we won that game. And the most pleasing thing for me is that they all dug deep at the end to hold on to the 3 points. And that's what you're going to have to do at times. You've got to dig deep and you've got to put your body on the line. And I thought that the new lads, that made their debuts, I thought they'd done very, very well, taking into account we only signed 2 yesterday morning. Big Ryan at the back, like a man defending at the end there. So, yeah, very good. Again, Ben Amos was excellent. So I think it was a good team performance.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess when you bring in a whole host of new signings like you have, sometimes it will take a while to gel. But I think, in particular, Paul Smith, I thought he had a particularly impressive first half. And yeah, a lot of the new bodies look like they've settled in quite nicely already.
Yeah, Paul is what he is, you know. He's a hard-working, honest and good player. Again, you've got to remember, he signed yesterday morning. So I've not really worked with him yet. We walked through shape yesterday, so it's difficult. And to get the way we played after just walking through just a little bit yesterday, that it's a credit to the players, you know. But when we do that, I don't complicate things. I don't try and tell them too many things. But yeah, I thought all the players, Shinny, I thought nice and comfortable in possession, done some good things. Jake was very good as well. Chucks and Ike, outstanding for me. They just couldn't handle it. And then Omar Bogle come on last half hour and he done exactly the same as Chucks. It was like for like. So it was just that last little bit. Like, he's got to realise, like, you've done great to get to where you are, but then he's just got to slide Smithy in there, I think, or Connor, whoever it was. So, but these things that we're going to work on and we will improve on.
It's nice to see Jake get his first goal in quite a while. It's slightly surprised to see it sneak in there. I don't know if it caught the goalkeeper a little bit unawares there, but for someone who's obviously had his injury problems over the last couple of years, it's nice for him to be up and running again in the goal-scoring stakes. He was getting quite a few a couple of years ago when you first came in as a coach as well.
Yeah. I know that Jake is possible to get into the box, arrive late and score goals. Like, I've seen him do it. So, seen him do it before in this division, and today we played him quite high up. He was unlucky not to score in the first half when he hit the bar. So, he can do that. And so, yeah, I think there was a lot of good things, a lot of positives today and not so many negatives. So, but we've still got a long way to go, a lot of work to do, because I've got a good group in there and we've got to tidy up on a few things.
One thing that was picked up, obviously, before kickoff was that Marcus wasn't involved today, and the club said he had a minor ankle injury. Is there anything too concerning there?
No, nothing too concerning. We've just got to see how it settles down. It was just one of them things. He went to have a shot and probably overstretched the front of his foot when he shot. So, just one of them things. Can't control them things. That's what happens. But, it's nothing too concerning.
Just finally from me then, obviously with the transfer window closing yesterday and now that Thomas is in, you managed to get so many deals over the line. Are you happy with how your squad's landed?
Yeah, I was saying yesterday that to do the business that we have, obviously I'm very grateful to the owner, for supporting us to allow us to bring in that many bodies. Like I said before, we lost 12 and I think we've replaced 11. I'm delighted that we was managed to get that many people through in such a short space of time, because obviously the embargo got lifted a couple of weeks ago. So, really, I'm shattered at the moment. Myself and Steve obviously worked really, really hard, and to get the quality of player that we did to stay under that cap, we've done really, really well. Like, I can't, even the players, I have to thank the players, because a lot of them have took big cuts. From what they've been on in the past. So, but most pleasing thing is that we've got some good bodies through. We've got a good mixture. Good mixture of players, and I think you see some of that today. We can play at times, but at times we'll have to dig deep and grind out results, and we've done both today. We've played well at times and we've dug deep at the end. So, I think the squad is a good squad, and we'll get better as it goes on. You've got to remember, Omar Bogle's trained twice with us and he hadn't trained with anyone else before that. So you got him, you got Madison, you got, there's like four or five. Gunter hasn't really done much. Like there's four or five that ain't even up to speed yet. Ben Watson's not up to speed yet. So yeah, once we get everyone up to speed and firing, then we'll start climbing.
We mentioned on Friday, I think it was, where about I said about patience because of the number of players we brought in and in such a short space of time. But is it also about, do you have to manage your own expectations? Because you're a winner, you know, you want to go out there and win every game. But, you know, with the number of players you brought in at such a short time scale, do you have to yourself rein your expectation back a bit?
Yeah, because I want to win every game. But I know that isn't going to happen. As much as I want it to, we've just put this group of players together. And like I said, within the last 2 weeks, I think we've brought in 9 players. It's impossible for them just to gel. Like, you got to figure out who you're playing with. Like, Chuck's a Nikkei. If I'm him, I'm thinking, right, if Madison gets the ball, like, what is he good at? And I've told Chuck, go and watch Madison's clips, like, his delivery. Where does he hit the space? And what can he do to make you score goals, you know? And so it's that. Like, you've got to look at people's strengths and weaknesses. And that's obviously my job as well, to put the right person in at the right time against the right team that we're playing. And I think we've got that right today. And for a credit to the players, because we haven't really done much together as a group, you know, to get 2 in yesterday and maybe 2 on 2 days before that, it's been difficult. And the international lads, like Connor Washington, only come back to us Friday. Like Friday, that was yesterday. it isn't right. And the Welsh lads, they all came back tired on Thursday. Like, they was really tired. We had to push training back till late afternoon. Johnny's got a bit of a knock. So it's been a difficult week. But most important thing is that we worked hard. We've got a good group of players in there, I believe. And we will start climbing. Sometimes it ain't going to go how we want it to go perfectly. I understand that. I accept that. But the sooner that we can work on a training pitch and improve as a group, then the sooner we will start going on runs. Same as 2 years ago, Terry, you know. I think I said that before. Like, it's just a matter of time before we go on a big run. We've got to be patient at the moment. It's hard for me, but I know that we've got a good group there and we will go on big runs. I believe that.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers header. And it's Johnny.
Yes!
Oh, it's in! Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too.
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero! Here at Wembley! Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
Squirty White stuff.
Hi, welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. We just heard there from the Addicts boss. Lee Bowyer, after yesterday's 1-0 win over Wigan Athletic, reasonably pleased with the display. And I think he can see that he knows that this is a brand new team. And as he was at pains to point out there, there's players that literally were signed the next day. A lot of these players won't have played together. We saw a debut off the bench from Omar Bogle that was impressive yesterday. Obviously, he mentioned how good Chooks and Ike was yesterday. And that was I think my most pleasing aspect of the game, because you know I've been blowing that particular trumpet for a while now. I think Chooks is going to be big for us this season. So very pleased with his display yesterday. We also of course spoke to him about his transfer dealings. So you know, Nath, now that the window has slammed shut, 12 in overall. We always knew it was going to be a massive rebuilding job, and we also always knew we're working under these constraints of the wage cap. We had the embargo that meant that by the time we were able to do our willing and dealing properly, then we had to work within this wage cap, which meant we couldn't go out and spend £5 million on a player, because you don't get £5 million players who are happy to come in for less than £2,000 a week. So you can see why it's difficult. Overall, how do you rate it? You know, we've picked up a few who've got things to prove, a few who are probably coming towards the end of their careers but have had solid careers, and a few who probably want to get back on to the sort of form they were showing earlier on in their career. That perhaps Marcus Madison a good example of that. So, you know, at the end of this transfer window, Nathan, how pleased are you?
Yeah, I think, if you look back to earlier the season, it's a lot better than it was. And I think all the signings that we have got, none of them seem like a panic sort of purchase or loan. As much as Josh Parker done okay, for us, and you know, in the final, I think like that one, it just seemed it was a bit, well, we haven't really got an alternative. But you look at, you know, like we've spoke about Shinny already, about his pedigree when he was at Luton, and obviously Smith's rawness of pace, and then the players that we do need, you know, Innes, which I thought, as much as Lockie was a good player, I thought he was beaten too easily against some centre forwards. And in this league, in League One, you're going to come up against some lumps. And I thought him and Akin Fenway yesterday was brilliant. I thought Fenway was very good on the ball. He's aggressive. Gunter's experience. So, I mean, you look all around, I think we've got a mixture of experience, youth and pace. If I could grumble at something, if I'm going to be a bit pedantic, is my concern of if Gunter gets injured. I was thinking, well, you know, Lapo could play there, but obviously he played yesterday and got sent off. I don't know if Brendan would have to step in, Brendan Sop on Wiridu, but that would be my only thing, really. And I just think once they all start clicking, Omar Bogle's not a bad player to have. And you obviously Connor Washington. So I think, all in all, it's a good squad. For me, I ain't putting the pressure on already, but it's a top six squad easily. So all in all, I'm very happy with it. And I know a lot of people might have been underwhelmed with some signings, but we've got to remember where we are and what we're dealing with. And we're not going to go out and buy 12, like you were saying, 12 people who are going to be marquee signings in inverted commas. So yeah, I'm quite pleased with it altogether.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because on Thursday's show, I think Lewis said that he felt that Omar Bogle's an improvement on Macaulay Boyle. And we got a tweet in afterwards actually saying they didn't quite agree with that. But that as Nathan says, Tel, we need to remember where we are. And the reason we're in League One with a wage cap, you're not going to make improvements in terms of the players you already had who are going to go on to the Championship. That's just not the situation we're going to be in at the moment. It's all about improving what you've got at the level that you are. And I think overall we've done that. And, you know, sure, there are, as you said, Kerb-style signings who are going to be hungry. That was the word that Kerbs always use, who have to go and prove themselves. But we trust Steve Gallen and we trust Lee Bowyer. And, you know, I think over the years they've proven that they've earned that trust quite a few times.
Yeah, 100% that. I think reality check, I think, is the phrase I'd use, because you're right, we're in League One and we're there for a reason. Not only that, because we got the wage cap, we couldn't capitalise on the first few months of it not existing because of the mess we were in as a club. So, you know, we've been dealt a hand of cards which have been slightly unfair compared to the others, but that's the way it is. We can't do anything about that. So, you know, they've pretty much had to do deals with one hand tied behind the back, and they've still managed to get in 12 players. I think we got the two in early on, so we didn't have to worry about the wage cap for those two, but the other 10 we have. And as Lee Bowyer said, you know, we've got the money now. Yeah, of course we could go out and say to somebody, yeah, we're going to spend £5 to £10 million on a player or a striker or anyone. But, you know, players who command £5 to £10 million transfers, aren't then going to accept £2,000 a week worth of wages. They're going to want 20, 30, 40, 50 plus. So, you know, we've had to cut our cloth accordingly. So, and you know, when you consider the players we've managed to bring in and the quality of the player we've brought in, it's outstanding, absolutely outstanding. And look, it might not be enough. Who knows? We'll see as the season progresses, and it may be that it's got to do some more tweaking in January. Who knows? We'll see. But you know, on the basis of where we've been, you know, and what we've been through, I think you can't ask for any more than what Lee Bowyer and Steve Gallen and obviously Thomas Sandgaard and everybody else has been involved. What they've done is I think exceptional.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a theory as well with the wage cap situation, and like I say, other teams getting their business done early before that came in. I do wonder if it will mean it may even take a couple of years for things to sort of even out, because you may look at teams who did their business early, got players in on 2-3 year contracts, and keep those expensive players for that long. It may take a little while for things to even out, but at the same time, you know, you do the best of what you've got, and with Lee Bowyer at the helm and with the sort of player he's brought in, and there is quality in there. I mean, I think Marcus Maddison, if he can get on form, I know he's out at the moment with a slight injury. You know, he's the sort of player that could be really big for us, and let's see, like Tell says, let's see where we end up at the end of the season. Now, of course, Nathan, on Thursday's show, myself, Tom and Lou were talking about all the players that had come in, and the two that have come in since then, Paul Smith, and it was Andrew Sheeney who came in on deadline day. I think we've spoken about, we haven't really spoken about the out yet, Dylan Phillips. I know you're a big fan. We all really were big fans of him on the show. Gone out to Cardiff. Do you think that's a good move for him? I think in the situation we're in, it was best for us if he left, because, you know, we know Lee Bowyer didn't particularly want to play him. He wanted a settled number one who was going to be here for a couple of years, perhaps, in Ben Amos. So, you know, I think it was a good move all round. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, probably in the majority, you know, if not all of the fans, you know, were gutted to see deals go. But he's you know, he done his time here. I mean, and I know with some people were, what's the word am I looking for, had an opinion about his distribution, which is fair enough, that's what football's about.
I think the word you're looking for is wrong in your mind.
Yeah.
Can you call the listeners idiots at one point?
Insane or something like that, but you know, that's
yeah, that was it.
Again, that's just my opinion. But yeah, no, listen, I think if we look back to that, what was the first game Sunderland away, and that, you know, he was at fault, really, wasn't it, really happy with himself for one of the goals, Madge's one, I think it was. But to see how he's improved, and last season, in my opinion, if he wasn't there, I probably think we probably would have been relegated a lot sooner than the last 3 minutes of the game. But I think all in all, you know, he wanted to go and test himself, which I think he's earned the right to do. He's played more or less every game for us. He's done very well. He's come through the academy, and he's earned his right. I don't think it'll be too long till he's Cardiff's number one, in my opinion. But yeah, if we know that he's not wanting to be at Charlton, not because he doesn't like the club, he just wants to further his career, which is fair enough. And I don't think any fan begrudges someone that, as long as they go the right way about it. And I think he did. And I think if you don't want to be there, he's not going to be on, he wasn't the highest earner, but he wasn't going to be on 100 quid a week. So that money's better off being spent on another player who we want part of the team than him just sitting in the, just training and then maybe playing on the odd 23 game. So I think it makes sense for everyone. I'm pretty sure I'll echo everyone and say, you know, wish him all the best. He'll still be looking out for results and stuff. But yeah, it was disappointing. But I think, hand on heart, I think every one of us knew it was very unlikely who was going to stay. But yeah, no, I wish him all the best. And obviously we'll be looking out for him. And hopefully I'll see him in Cardiff when we go up there for a weekend or one weekend. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, wish him all the best.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets and the emails that have come in then over the last 24 hours or so. Tom Van Der Steen emails in saying, really pleased with the result today. I thought we looked relatively solid at the back and offered a lot more going forward than in recent weeks. We did, though, get away with a few things that we probably wouldn't have in the Championship. But all in all, it was a good performance. I'll read the squad. I like the strikers we have at the club now. They seem to offer a wide array of abilities that Bowyer can call upon depending on the team or situation. I may be wrong, but I'm not sure if there is a 20 plus a goal a season striker in them but the difference in qualities will still offer a lot of goals between them, which should be enough to at least challenge. But really, I'm just happy to be talking about football again. Great show week in, week out, lads. Yeah, cheers for that, Tom. Excellent stuff. Right, Peter Body says, dear Louis and the gang, great result yesterday, if a little fortuitous. However, the result was more important than the performance. Given time, I feel we have a competitive squad that can compete for honours in League One. I thought Enike, JFC and the Energizer Bunny, Paul Smith, were the standout players for me. Great show, Louis, and keep up the good work. That's from Peter Body out in Minnesota in the USA. Cheers, Peter. Terry, as sort of Peter said there, he thinks that we can compete for honours. So I'm noticing a few people saying that now. So are you still on that? You think we're not too far behind, not too much catching up to? I think we're only 3 points outside the playoffs in these early days.
Yeah, I think given who we've played already, and given that you know, you look at the table, and you know, we played Lincoln, and I didn't think they were much better than us, if anything, and got a bit lucky against us. Sunderland's the same, and they're both in the top six. So Doncaster's probably the only side that really give us a bit of a footballing lesson, I suppose, and they're seventh. So I don't think there's any teams that we should be scared of, especially with the squad we got now. I think there was a previous email there, I can't remember who sent it, but they're talking about not having a 20-goal a season striker, and I tend to agree with that. But I mentioned it yesterday in comms. I think you know, we've got to learn to adapt to that. You know, we've been fortunate enough to have Lyle Taylor and Carlin Grant in the side that bagged a hell of a lot of goals between them, and it was a partnership that worked. We haven't got those players. We haven't got those style of players, so we've got to adapt. We've got to play a different way and score goals differently. And I think the players that we got now, you can't compare the two at all. But I think if we use it right, I think we're more likely to see a more spread of goals across the side rather than having all the goals come from one or two main areas. So I think we're good enough to threaten the top six as it stands now. Be interesting to see how it goes. Be interesting to see, you know, squad depth, if it's enough, and whether or not we can do anything in January if we do need to you know, tweak it slightly or add to it slightly. Again, depending on the situation with the salary cap and the squad depth. But yeah, I think as it stands now, I think we've got a squad that can compete. I wouldn't necessarily say top two, but I think we'll be there or thereabouts.
Nice stuff. Right, we had an interesting email that came in from Robin Dyer out in Barnhurst. Hi, guys. I would be interested to know if you have any idea as to how many Cheltenham fans are using the streaming service and whether the takeover has led to an increase in numbers. Keep up with the good work. Yeah, cheers, Robin. So yeah, I saw this email earlier, so I did ask the question of the club. And I was told that they are going to nail down the exact figures because it would be quite interesting. But there definitely has been a large increase for the last three games, unsurprisingly. So since Thomas has come in, it is mentioned previously, apparently we had around 3,100 for the Lincoln game. So I'm guessing that after the increase, I imagine, that's the level you're looking at. Maybe even more for a home game in particular, I guess, after we've made all those signings. So healthy numbers. Not surprised that, you know, the fans would love to be flocking back at the moment, you know, with the feel-good factor surrounding the club now that Thomas Sandgaard is here. You know, obviously they can't do that, but at least they're doing it virtually, Terry. And that means probably at least over 3,000 people heard you, Terry, say the phrase squirty white stuff.
Well, I was about to say exactly that. I mean, those people who heard that would have been less for it, wouldn't they? They would have been inside the ground and they wouldn't have heard squirty white stuff, so they'd have been completely blissfully unaware. And now they're part of the in the know crowd, so I think they're better for it.
Yeah, well, let's see if that large increase is sustained for the next game after they hear that filth on the commentary.
It'll be down to 15 by the next one, yeah.
Excellent stuff. Right, Phil says, hi guys, I didn't watch the game yesterday, so I can't comment too much on individual performances. However, we have to be happy with the win. Without Gilby and Madison, our midfield is not at its strongest. It's going to take a month or two before we fully gel as Boya wants. However, we have a run of winnable games now, so fully expect us to be in the top 10 by the end of November. Yeah, that run starts with Blackpool, who haven't had the best of starts to the season, on Tuesday evening, and we'll have a quick look ahead to that game later on in the show. Craig says, hi guys, great show. Thanks, Craig. I think we played really well yesterday. Innes looked solid. Smith played really well. Chucks was man of the match for me, though. A bit negative last 15 minutes, but it's a great result, and add Madison to the mix and get the boys up to the speed, and we might even challenge. Come on, you Reds. Yeah, I saw Nathan, a few people say they thought we sat back a little bit last 15. Is that the way you saw it? Wigan certainly came out, which is what you'd expect, really, when you're a team losing 1-0. Of course, you're going to be trying to put a bit of pressure on the other side. I guess once we lost Chucks as well, we lost a little bit of an out ball. You know, someone who was running with the ball. Omar did that once or twice, maybe, but not quite as much. What did you think? We went too defensive second half, or do you think that's just the way it goes when you're 1-0 up?
I think sometimes if naturally, you know, as much as we can all sit on the sideline and go push up, which I'm sure Bose is doing, but I think looking at it, we probably did sit a bit too deep. But the way we defended is we defended more or less the width of our box, so our back four was really narrow, and we just said to them out wide in the wider areas to I think it was Naismith and Solomon Ottebor, was letting them have it and go. Well, if they started cutting in, that's when you engage. But because I think if they're going to go out wide and put crosses in, I think Innes and Fanway were, it's just meat and drink for them. You know, they were just knocking it away, getting their bodies on the line, and I thought they would clean up. So I think maybe that had an element of it, just to say, well, the only way they're going to get through us is if they come through the middle. But if we force them out wide, I can't see them. Like Garner and I can't remember the other one up front. As Terry said earlier, I think Garner was leaning into Famwo, and because he knows he was never going to win the aerial challenges of either centre half. So I think maybe that's why we defended narrow and let them have the ball and just go, right, go on, then knock it in the box. We're going to have it all day long. And it proved to be that. So, but yeah, naturally, I think you do sit back because you try and protect what you have. But yeah, I think there was, we didn't have that outborne, like you say. I just think if we had that bit of, that's a sort of game, really. Well, I know Washington come on, but if you had Smith on, you can stretch him a little bit. And I think once Bogle's up to speed, because he hasn't played a lot of football either, I think we can have that outlet in games like that when we've got to take some pressure and then try and relieve it on the outball.
Excellent stuff. Right, Mark Newbury says, evening chats. For a team that hadn't played together, there were some very encouraging signs yesterday. A few rough edges, but pleasing to see a committed performance. I thought Shinny was excellent, slotted in well and went looking for the ball, driving forward and playing some nice stuff at the back. Innes is the type of centre-half I like. Puts his head in where it hurts and capable of handing out a slap when needed. Jake Forster-Caskey looked like he had a new lease of life in the role and capped it off with a good goal. Chuck's lead led from the front and deserved a goal for his hard work. But Bogle also looked good as backup. One really nice turn left. Three Wigan players looking for their toast. The only slight negative of things, I thought that Prattley looked wasted where he was. Yeah, he sort of played on the left of the diamond. I don't think he can work alongside Watson. Are both too similar, and he wasn't effective wide only when he came back into the middle, which leaves us too narrow. Maybe after Watson's fifth yellow card on Tuesday and ban, yeah, he's got 4-4 so far. He can sit in the middle where it suits him. I like Fainwo, but he wants to play a bit much, and sometimes he needs to learn to put his boot through it. But he's young and will learn alongside Pearce and Innes. Think Tuesday we'll see a largely different side out there, but still expect us to pick up some points and a stick of rock. Cheers, Mark, for that. Right, we've still got tweets to come to, but I think we should hear now from Ryan Innes, a defender moved across from Surrey to South London in the last week of the transfer window. Signed from Palace, made his debut yesterday. He was in the wars, but he was pleased to get his Addicts career up and running with 3 points.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to get off to a good start, clean sheet. I think the boys rallied well towards the end, considering it was a first game with a lot of the boys together as a unit. We've definitely got that base to kick on and progress as a team in possession.
Also, you're at Palace for a long time, but you had a lot of loan spells out and about. So, I mean, are you sort of hoping that this is the time you can really make a home for yourself again? So obviously still in South London and a club that you can really get a lot of appearances for.
Yeah, that's definitely it. It's also, for me, on a personal note, you know, you go on loan, I give everything, but there comes a time sometimes when you're on loan and they may want to play their own players, or you don't get to where you want to in a season and it gets cut short. But I want to be part of a project, like I said, when I first signed, and this is a brilliant one. We've got strength and depth all over the park, and I think the club's going to continue to build and as we progress. So it's good that we got off to a good start and all the boys want to keep their shirts. But definitely for me here, it was perfect. It's only up the road for me. So family-wise, it suits me. Like I said, I know a lot about Charlton before I came here, so it was a no-brainer for me, really. So hopefully we can kick on.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, maybe a month ago, Charlton fans were slightly worried about how the club was going and the fact they weren't able to bring in signings. But since the new owner's come in, he's brought in a hell of a lot of new bodies, and we're starting to see a squad that's come together now. What do you think this squad has got the ability to achieve? Obviously, you've still got to find time to gel together, but you know, once you hit the ground running properly, what do you think that could be a realistic aim for this season?
Well, do you know what? Listen, we're just worried about taking each game as it comes for now and learning more about each other, because we played with a real base today, as in we defended well, we communicated well, but with this, what the staff want to do on a training pitch, we haven't had a lot of time. We're only going to get better in possession, and I feel like we're all going to grow as players and as a unit. So it's pleasing to get off to a 1-0 win, because it shows, like I said, we can do the dogged things. So we're only going to get better in possession, and it's exciting times. We've got so much depth in pretty much every position now that everyone has to bring their A game, myself included, because shirts are up for grabs.
Yeah, and it's a quick turnaround now, of course, to Blackpool on Tuesday, which I guess is probably an advantage for the team to get to know each other, to have a good run of games in the next few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. In this league, it will come thick and fast, especially with the coronavirus and things back. There's a backlog in the schedule, but you just got to take... It's another opportunity for us, really. Like you said, it will face a different challenge. We'll see how different players react and respond, and hopefully we can just get the best out of each other and learn as we go.
Space on the right hand side for Alfie Doughty now in the penalty area. This is a huge chance for the Alex, and it's Alfie Doughty who puts Charlton into the lead with a calm left footed finish. It was a wonderful fall through to the youngster, and he pulled it in onto his left foot and slides it beyond the goalkeeper. It's Crewe Alexandra 0, Charlton Athletic 1.
Charlton Live.
Squirty white stuff.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from Ryan Innes, signed from Palace. Somewhere to make a home for himself, Terry, is what I think he needs. And I think, like we said, this is his chance. And it's going to be very interesting to see how he gets on in his career.
Yeah, I think, I suppose the time will tell when, the likes of... Jason Pearce is back fit and vying for that place because you'd expect Fanboy, the type of player he is, to be that sort of covering centre half. He can play football on the floor. Mostly you have a big, huge centre half who loves to get a tackle in and competes in the air, and then another one who sweeps up behind. And so it'd be unlikely that you see Pearce and Innes in the same side if they're only playing a centre two, and we're playing a flat back four. If we're playing a three, it makes it's no difference. But yeah, it'd be interesting how he reacts to if he does drop out because he's had maybe one bad game and Pearce comes in and keeps the shirt, whether or not he can remain focused. But I mean, if he carries on playing like he did yesterday, then it's Jason Pearce is going to have a struggle getting back in the side.
That will, like you say, be very interesting, especially when Pearce is back fit. Don't forget, you can hear the entirety of that interview with Ryan Innes on Valley Pass. You should also read snippets on the South London Press website. Right, Phil says, defence much more solid, impressed with Innes and Gunter, whilst Fainwo continues to develop with every game. One move in the first half would have graced any EPL ground. A very neat interpassing move. Basically one-touch football. When they've trained together, they will be a real force. Tom says, other than a couple of close calls, we look much more solid than in recent games. Some of the new boys, like Smith and Innes, looked impressive, but a big shout-out to Anike, who was absolutely rampant when he was on. If he can stay fit, we'll have a real player on our hands. Mina, much higher energy, stronger feel about the team. Still lucky not to concede three. There was an Amos save, a point-blank miss, and the underside of the bar, but it was great to see Chucks in full flow. He was unlucky not to score. Daniel Trafen tweets in as well, says, solid performance with a lot of new faces. They worked hard for the point of win against Blackpool, and I feel we're going the run. Whilst Will says, very promising. Smith was busy. Chucks was excellent. Shinny looks like a clever signing. Bogle looked bright. Gunter was solid. And Innes looks like the next defensive warrior. And also, I did ask for some views on the transfer window. TFT, two-footed tackle, says, great work on a wage cap and latter stage of the team is competitive now. A decent striker still needs to be identified. January transfer window is just around the corner. Sure that Sandgaard, Gallen and Boyer we'll be ready. Future's looking bright and looking good. Glenn Marshall is happy to see Madison and Mason in the side, or will be at least when they're both ready to play. Macca says that Sheeney signing is a great one, along with Madison and Smith. Up to the players now to go and do the business. A very capable of a top six finish. Phil says definitely good business, especially when you consider the embargo we're under for the majority of the window. From what I saw yesterday, when they've had a chance to work together, there'll be a real handful. Will says we've got to be happy with the incomes. Think that when they've had a few weeks together, we will start pushing for promotion. Martin says it's probably our best window since Chris Powell left. What do you reckon of that, Nath? It's, obviously, when Powell came in, I think it was 17, 18 new signings before we went on to romp League One. So do you think this window's up there with that one?
I think time will tell, really, if it's on par with it. But I think in terms of the turnover, it's up there. And we might have touched on it before. I just think the type of player that we brought in, I think Tell touched on it with the curb sort of thing. Every single player's improved us. We've got pedigree in there. People know who are proven at this level. And people can probably play in the Championship if we do have a good season and, you know, reach the higher echelons of the league. So, I think it's a good window. I think a lot when Powell came in, there was quite a few signings that at that point in time I wasn't really too aware of, like the likes of Matt Holland, Danny Hollands and stuff like that, Matt Taylor. But I think in terms of considering where we were and how quickly we had to do it, I think it's been an amazing transfer window, and everyone's already given the plaudits, and rightly so, to obviously Thomas, Stephen, Bose, and obviously Jacko. But yeah, I think it's quite a very good window.
Excellent stuff. Right, Sue says it feels like the season when Pauli rebuilt us, so making a similar point there and got us promoted. I feel so positive that we have backup in all areas now. Dom, was anyone else hoping to see Joe Piggott coming back or just me? Yeah, he started off well, wasn't he? But great win. Looking forward to this season and the many Charlton Live shows to come. Cheers, Dom. Finally, London Innit Geezer says, not sure if it'll be this season, but if not next season, we'll be in the top two. Reckon Innes will be a fan's favourite whenever we get back in with no fans. It just isn't the same. And yeah, Terry, I've been thinking about this the last few days. Obviously, we're incredibly lucky to get to go to games and work, but and I feel ungrateful saying this, but it's not the same. Like, I know, like, everyone would love to be there, but you have to understand that for those of us who are lucky enough to be there, it's not the same without you guys. Like, full time yesterday, I took a video of the players trudging back up the stairs, and I was just sitting there thinking, like, whenever we win at home, if it's scrappy or whatever, like that 5 minutes while the players are clapping everyone and walking off is just the best 5 minutes of the week. And it's so crap without fans there, isn't it, Tal?
Yeah, it is. And I think that sometimes explains some of the strange results that you get in the leagues where, you know, normally when, as you say, when you've won, whether it be scrappy or otherwise, you get that applause off the pitch and the tunnel jump and the whole feel-good factor and euphoria that goes with winning a game of football. And that can be, infectious. And so, you know, especially when now we've got like two games a week. So we've got Saturday, Tuesday. So, you know, it builds your confidence up to the Tuesday. If you get another result Tuesday, then that same thing, you know, with the fans applauding you off, carries you through to the Saturday, and the momentum carries you through, and that's something that is clearly missing. And I think it's affected me more since we had the 1,000 back. That one brief game where, you know, it looked like it was the start of getting back to some form of fan normality where we can, you know, slowly build up the crowds until everybody's back. But obviously that's taken a kick in the wasp names. So we've had to go back to nobody. And everybody involved in football, you know, will tell you it's nothing. It's not the same sport, and it's not quite the same. You're right. I mean, I feel very privileged to be in the stadium. Very privileged. I don't take it for granted, you know, that we're the lucky ones. But trust me, and this people perhaps won't believe me, but you know, if they said to me that, right, you'd have to sacrifice your spot so we could get 10,000 people in, then you take it because you know that that's what football needs.
Yeah, it certainly does. Right, well, one place where we have seen quite a few empty empty crowds before is, of course, Blackpool. But you know, during the Oyston era, they had very few fans through the door, and you can understand why. That's who we're playing on Tuesday. Unfortunately, I won't actually be there. It's just not falling at the right time for me. But Tell, You're going to be up there at Bloomfield Road on Tuesday evening. I'll be sat listening to the stream. So, you know, basically adverts for Just Eat and then you popping up every 5 minutes or so. But it's going to be an interesting game. Blackpool have started very poorly indeed. They got a 1-1 draw at Crewe yesterday. I think they equalised reasonably late on, 20 minutes or so from time. But I think they'd made quite a few signings actually in the summer. So I expect they were thinking they'd be doing better, Tell. So, but, you know, looking at their results and off the back of a win and our new players coming in, you going into this one up in the northwest with a bit of confidence, Tell?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think, you know, we haven't had, it's never always been the happiest hunting ground. I think, was it the last time we won when Callum Herrick got his hat-trick? Is that the last time we won up there?
I think so. I saw it the first three times I went there. I saw us win 3 out of 3 without conceding, but we've lost our last two there. Both with last-minute goals, if I remember correctly, or quite late goals, 2-1 and 1-0. So, not a happy hunting ground recently, Naif. Just looking at the Charlton side, I mean, obviously, Chooks, you'd hope he's going to be fit to continue, but we know what he's like with his fitness, and he played an hour on Saturday, so I don't know if he will be fit enough. But, I mean, just looking at the squad as a whole, are there any changes you'd like to see made for the game?
I think we need to manage it. I was surprised to see Pratt and Watson both play 90 minutes. Did they play 90 minutes yesterday? Or am I imagining that? They did, didn't they?
Yeah, I think
play
so.
Play 90 minutes. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, of course, obviously, you're going to need one of them to play again on Tuesday. I can see Dylan coming in. I can probably, to an extent, Albie might come in. And I think Johnny will start. I think he might. I don't think he'll tinker too much, especially with the back four. Purrett may come in, I'm not sure, but because I don't know if Alfie has to. I suppose he's fit because he didn't go off, didn't he? But I think there'll be a couple of changes, I would imagine, just to freshen it up, especially with Chucks. So I could see maybe 3 or 4 just rotating it around, because again, we've got another game on Saturday. So I think I think Blackpool are in a. They've not had a great. I think they only beat Swindon, and they've lost every other game, haven't they? But they've got some good players. They've got that CJ Hamilton, who was at Mansfield when we played them in the cup.
Yeah.
Woodburn on loan, Ethan Robson from Sunderland. So they've got good players. But I think it might be a game for maybe where we can give Albie a little bit of and Dylan a little bit of freedom, so to speak, and see if we can start on the front foot. But you never know. I've said this before, and then Bowes will name an unchanged team. So I think, like Terry was saying, Saturday, Tuesday, it's all well and good. You've got to strike a fine balance as obviously rotating the team so you don't have burnout of all the other players and risking injuries, but at the same time trying to keep momentum after you've just won a game. So it'll be interesting to see how he lines up there at Bloomfield Road.
Yeah, and as I said to Ryan Innes when we were interviewing him yesterday, that the fact that we are playing all this Saturday, Tuesday, as Bo likes to call it, it probably helps in terms of actually gelling quicker because, you know, Ryan said himself that the best place to learn about your teammates is on the field of play. So hopefully that will assist us because we have got Saturday, Tuesdays for the next couple of weeks at least. Right, I think we've run out of time on this week's Charlton Live podcast. Thanks to all of you who've sent in tweets and emails and whatnot. Thank you to Nathan and Terry for joining me on the show.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, Louis. Cheers, Nathan.
Good to have you both on the show. Right, I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening to Charlton Live. We'll be back on Thursday with a look back at whatever happens at Blackpool and a look ahead to our next game, which I think is Northampton away, but I'll confirm that on Thursday. Yeah, it is Northampton away. There we go. So look forward to speaking to you again on Thursday. Thanks for listening to tonight's show, and we shall see you later.
Squirty white stuff, squirty white stuff, squirty, squirty, squirty white stuff.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.